Hey everybody, we're back with another version of Flock and Gather. Thanks for joining us. You know it's Alan Scher. I run the Spa Industry Association. We have over 72,000 members across the globe and growing, because even though it's coronavirus, we're still growing. And I'm glad I get to go at least to the south of France today. I have a good friend of mine here. Say hello to Lindsay Madden Nadeau. How are you, my friend?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Alan. It's great to be here.
Good. Well, and I said, of course, good morning to you, and you said good evening, because that's just the way the world works. But whether we're in Zoom or Skype or anything else, it's just fun to be able to do this, isn't it?
Great. I love it. I love listening to podcasts. It's something I do probably almost every day on my walk.
Yeah. In fact, you know that's why people say they love ours, because we roll 18 minutes. Although someone sent me a podcast the other day, said, oh, you're going to love this. I looked, it was an hour and 52 minutes. And I went, I'm going to put that in my file for later. Yeah. I never clear that 2-hour block to listen.
Yeah. So it'll be 20 minutes is a good amount of time.
It'll be a really long walk or a long time on the elliptical. I haven't figured out which one it is yet. What's going on? So, people who know that you were with Accor and you lived in Dubai, and now you're between Nice and Monaco, right?
That's right. Yes. So my past background is I worked for FRHI. So Fairmont Raffles Hotels is the director of operations and integrations. For almost three or four years before we were purchased by Accor Hotels. And from there, I took on the global director of well-being. So I manage brands like Raffles, Fairmont, Orient Express, Mövenpick, M Gallery, and basically worked with our design and technical services teams to build all of our new properties, our new wellness and spa opportunities. And then I also got the opportunity, which was great, to work with all of our VPs of all of the master brands, to work with them and understand what the wellness programming meant from A to Z as an experience throughout the hotel. So from the initiation of walking in to the guest rooms, the spas, the fitness, etc.
I always say, even though we're learning every day in our business, I always say, okay, is there anything you don't know about our business? When you think about the miles of travel and the spas that you have visited and the wellness centers, it gives you a pretty good grasp of what our industry looks like, right?
It does, but you know what? I was probably spending 65% of my month on the road, traveling, if not more. And every time I visited a new property and I met new people and it was a new country, I learned something completely new. So each project was really individual. And that's what I loved about my job, is I was always learning.
Yeah. Well, that's what people keep saying to me, you should retire and golf more. And I say, well, first, I'm a crappy golfer. And secondly, I'm hardwired to work. My dad was too, God bless him. I just love it. And thirdly, people stay in our industry a really long time, like till they're centenarian. So why would I leave now? I've had a great 32-year run. I'm not engaged to stop. I love the daily processing and thinking, and we get to talk to our friends across the globe. So why not, right? Okay, so you moved to South of France. You started a new gig called Meraki Bespoke Wellness Strategy. We're going to call you Meraki for the time being. So explain to our listeners where that word came from and what you're doing now.
All right. Well, Meraki was born on October 1st, 2020. So something really good came out of 2020 for me. I'd been living in the Middle East for about 13 years, working out of our Dubai office. And I was just ready for a change. I was ready to shift into a new dynamic, leave the corporate world, and just to explore different opportunities. So Meraki was born as one of the initiatives I was working on. The second initiative is a personal passion. And I'm here to really explore where I can find my next retreat space that I'll be building. And that's really exciting. But Meraki is really going to take center stage right now, particularly in the times of COVID when we can't travel and move around. Meraki means to do something with love and creativity and to put a piece of yourself into your work. And I think if people know me and they know my work, every time you walked into one of the spas that I'd worked on or designed or was conceptualizing, people knew that Lindsay had been there.
I love it.
So that was why, when we looked for names for Meraki, that was why we came up. Now, Wellness has always been a personal passion of mine. It's been something that I've always taken outside of work and lived on a day-to-day basis, which is one of the reasons that I've moved to the south of France, just for the lifestyle change and being in nature and outdoors. But strategically, it was one of the strengths that I could always look into a business and identify strategically what was the best plan of action. So I wanted to walk into the industry or walk into the consulting space with a couple different specialties. And one of that was going to be strategies and understanding what wellness programs and how they could operate uniquely within different brands. And the other was design. You know, Accor was, it's a hospitality company, but it's also a development company. So, you know, I would have 5 new projects every week from a design perspective. So we were constantly innovating and pushing and, you know, pushing the boundaries on what does a spa look like these days. So that's really where the birth of Meraki comes from, is passion to want to create very bespoke wellness solutions for clients.
I love it because we need so much more peace and loving kindness in the world today. But you covered a bunch of things, so let me just go back and cover a few of these. So did you tell me Meraki is Greek, right?
It's Greek. It comes from the Greek.
Yeah. How do you find the word? Where did you go to find a Greek word that fit with what you wanted to do?
Well, I'm a bit of a Pinterest addict, admittedly. And it'd been sitting in my Pinterest box for ages. So it'd been manifesting there on its own. And I was with a friend and we were looking at different names. And originally it was just going to be Bespoke Wellness Strategies. And I was like, yes, that's perfect. And I can short form him, BWS, it'll be great. And then my friend who's in branding and said, you know what, I think you need a different name on top. So I was looking through and he said, what about Meraki? This is what it means. And he said, Lindsay, I've worked with you on so many different projects. Like, this is you. This is, you know, this is the whole meaning. And we searched and searched for something other than this, because Meraki can be a very common name on the internet. And we kept coming back to it because it was just so perfect and so suited for people that knew my work.
Right. So sometimes, like you said earlier, sometimes things speak to you. Like you talked about going to the south of France and how it fits your lifestyle. And you kind of felt like you're at home there. And same way when we went to Green Spa Network here in Carefree, Arizona, and Kathy went, I love it. I want to move here. And I said, let's do it. And I've been here 5 months, but it feels like 5 years because it spoke to us, if I may borrow your words, right? And it just seemed to be the right place to be. So I totally, totally understand that. Okay, and this is not a 12-step program, so we're not going to do a, hi, I'm Lindsay, I'm a Pinterest addict, because I...
No. But I have to say that the South of France, if you look in my Pinterest boards under Life Inspirations, South of France was there, and the lifestyle was there. And so I've been planting these seeds, you know, for a long time.
Good for you. Give our listeners, what's the top 2 or 3 things in the south of France that you absolutely love? It's got to be the water, number one, right?
Gosh, I want to say, you know, coming from Dubai, where life is very luxurious, yeah. I wouldn't say that the south of France, you cannot say that it's not a luxurious lifestyle. However, it's an incredibly simple lifestyle. And I really, really appreciate the work to live mentality of the French. Let's say you start work at 10 o'clock, you have a coffee, you go in, you do a little bit of work, you know, an hour and a half lunch, you come back, you're done by 5. So I really love the simple life. I love that, you know, on the weekends, I can take a walk out on the Cape and I can have a coffee at a cafe and I wouldn't want to be doing anything else. I don't need to be spending money on a brunch, or I don't need to be going and doing other things, because I'm just so fulfilled by that. I love the connection to the nature. You've got, particularly between Nice and Monaco, you have these giant mountains. Well, I said mountains, they're hills probably, but you can go hiking and it's fresh air and the sun always shines. So we're in this beautiful microclimate. So you get sunshine probably about 300 days of the year. It's fantastic. You know, and I'm loving the access to fresh food. I mean, that might sound like, you know, something normal for people, but in Dubai, everything was shipped in, right? So for the anomaly of being able to walk up to a market and grab potatoes that still have dirt on them and go and cook them, and they just taste better. My herbs last like almost 2 weeks in the fridge here, whereas they lasted 2 weeks in Dubai because they were taken from the soil from such a long time before that. So Those are three things, three pretty simple things in terms of lifestyle, but I'm just finding that I'm so much more fulfilled by these things than by other material things.
I have to look and see if the south of France and where I'm living north of Phoenix is on the same. Is it longitude that goes across? Latitudes north, south, longitudes east, west, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because all the things you're saying are the things here. Like, we live in these hills and mountains, and yeah, 5 minutes out my door are hiking trails. And I'm perfectly fine going down to the cafe at the creek and having a cup of coffee. So all the things you're saying, but I think it resonates with millions of people around the globe, that there's this breathing of not only ourselves, but the earth sort of. This is the lemons to lemonade in the pandemic, is that we've had a chance to kind of think a little differently about what it is that we want to be and do. Okay, I want to talk more about what you said. So you talked about strategies and design, because, you know, running the association, we get these calls, no one calls anymore, it's emails. we get these, I'm old fashioned, I still love the telephone, okay? We get the emails all the times about, okay, I had one the other day, salon and spa, we want to add medical, I don't really have a strategy in place, who do I talk to about design? Because those are kind of the two functions that start the project, right? Can you address that a little more?
Yeah, I think, you know, these days design is such an area to differentiate. And I say this maybe because within Accor, we had 12 brands. And so even within the hospitality space, it's pretty saturated. And I always had this non-traditional kind of view of how do we do things differently? How do, you know, I could build, you know, any spa, and it, you know, so many of them, you walk in and they have the same floor and the same tiles, and, you know, like, everything just looks the same. We just need to change the brand name on top, and then everything just looks same. So I was on this drive to really differentiate, and I'll give you an example of what some of that looks like. So within Raffles, we created a design for harmony component, and we worked with a design company to help curate what design for harmony meant to Raffles. Now, this wasn't just in the spa, this was throughout the entire guest experience. So we worked with a feng shui specialist, we worked with a specialist in biophilia, we worked with garden practitioners who would like really put together and curate gardens for us. And we had like this guide booklet, without it being repetitious or, you know, and making sure that it was quite singular, where you had all these different touch points, and a guest would walk into a Raffles and they didn't understand why, but they just genuinely felt better. Well, it was because we'd curated all of this beautifully researched design. So that's one example. With Fairmont, with the new direction we were taking with our spas, we were looking at an elemental design concept where we were saying, okay, how do we use the earth's elements to bring ourselves back to nature? And it was fully aligned with our concept, with our photography. And we were creating some really different, unique spaces. So I tend to think that these days, with the saturation of hospitality companies and wellness models, it's incredibly important to differentiate. That could be, you know, designing through sustainability, it could be designing through color, but you've got to have something that's unique that speaks to your brand.
Do you remember you're way younger than I am, but you still remember when people just said, hey, I'm going to open a spa, and they opened a spa and it didn't matter, and people rolled in, and this was just the name. Remember in the early 2000s, I mean, honestly, you could not get out of your way. It just didn't matter what it is. But it's truly now, well, and of course, hotels opened them and said, I don't care if we make money. We have to have a spa because people are asking. Yeah. And of course, now all that's been thrown out the window. This is a real a business. I mean, I've been doing this long enough to remember my friends calling me going, so I'm going to get a massage. Do I take my underwear off or what? What do I do? Right? People, now my friends call me and they go, hey, I was at the Fairmont and blah, blah, blah. And then they're telling me their experience, because now it's just an automatic that they're going. Yeah. But to your point, having a strategy and a design that are married together, that make people feel at home. Mm-hmm. You've got to strike that iron. It's got to be hot, right? It's got to work when you set up.
And when you look at a spa, like, really these days, how do you make a spa exciting? You know, you're handed 1,000 square meters. You usually walk in, you have a reception, you have a retail, it all looks the same. And to be honest, there in many cases, there hasn't been a lot of thought put into, what do my retail or my merchandising shelves look like? How do I attract more, you know, like you walk into a department store and that's all calculated. Everything's calculated, you know, the height of the shelves, everything is so calculated. You walk into the wet areas and you've got a sauna and a steam and that makes us a spa. And I was just over that. I was like, no, we have to create, you know, like a thermal journey or a thermal circuit or something where you come in and it's different. The relaxation room needs to be, you know, unique. Like, let's put some stars on the sky and or put some color therapy in there. Or, you know, why does it have to be a relaxation room? Why can't it be a meditation space afterwards? So for me, it was really about taking the norm and saying, how can we do it differently and do it uniquely, but still genuinely?
Okay. Wow. I mean, there's just so much stuff. Friends, we've been with Lindsay Madden-Nadau today. She runs Meraki. She's in the south of France. I'm loving this conversation. We could go on for hours. We'll have to schedule another podcast, but I have a couple more quick questions for you. What's going to happen with amenities in spas, like going in the hot tub and all that other stuff? Because in the U.S. market, a lot of that is just not open. You can get a massage, you can get a facial with all the requirements necessary, but the back end of the spa with that, you know, hanging out in the relaxation room, to me, my absolute favorite part of going to a spa is that I go get to settle down and be quiet for 30 minutes after my treatment.
Look, maybe I'm an optimist, but, you know, I think that life is going to return to somewhat of a normalcy once specific regions in the world get back to, you know, get back to business. If you look at China, if you look at Dubai, people are living pretty normal lives now. And I think that once governments get, or you know, states, wherever you're living, get back to normal, that we'll be able to return to somewhat of a safe environment again. So I don't think those areas are going to go away. You know, there might be some time until we can all do it comfortably, but I don't think that it's completely out the window forever.
Okay, I have a confession to make. This is confession moment, but when I have coffee first thing in the morning, which for Kathy and I is somewhere between 5:30 and 6 o'clock when we roll out of bed, even though it's pitch black anyways, but I like to watch the news for a few minutes in the morning. That's before I work out. We've built a gym in our third garage stall here. So I have all the equipment, put a TV on the wall. Here's my confession. Okay. I'm watching the whole series of Seinfeld for probably like the third time now, but it makes me laugh and I want to laugh. It's cathartic. Yeah. You can't watch news all day or you're going to, well, I don't have a lot of hair left, but you're going to pull out.
Especially American news.
No. And this morning, but I heard that United and American, they're already starting to fly vaccine into the U.S. I saw where the U.K. gave permission to Pfizer to start the magazine. So I'm encouraged by your words and what you said as well. Last thing, you talked about retail, and it's always close to my heart. We have friends who run a business called Retail Works in Milwaukee, and their business is all about how you make retail and lighting and visual merchant. And she said the same thing that you and I say is when they get it right and people walk in and they spend a bunch on retail, but
more
they're
desirable.
Not really clear why they did it, but something was real comfortable in retail, you know?
Yeah. We created something with Raffles called the Raffles Retail Theater. And it wasn't about having TVs or anything, but it was like, how do we create this theatrical experience where we didn't have a normal sit-down reception desk and we had merchandising kind of at the forefront and people could touch and smell. And so they could experience and sell that treatment the way that it should be sold. You know, it doesn't have to be sold through a piece of paper and a menu. It's sold through the people and the experience.
Lindsay, what's the best? So people want to see what you're doing at Meraki. How do they reach out to you? What's the best way?
Well, we've got our Instagram account up, Meraki_BWS.
Okay.
We've got the web is www.meraki-bws.com. And the email address is hello@meraki-bws.
Got it. All right.
I'm usually quite active on LinkedIn as well. So that's a really good place to catch me as well.
Okay. So Meraki, it's M-E-R. this is for our listeners, meraki-bws.com. So
that's right.
Lindsay, thank you so much. I hope you're going to go have a nice dinner now while I go get that second cup of coffee this morning.
I certainly am. Thanks, Alan. It was so good to connect with you again. I'd love to do this again.
We will. Good speaking with you. Bye-bye.
Okay,
and remember, bye. To all my friends and listeners, please be kind to each other.